This week was a very difficult week for Klal Yisrael. It was also a very, very difficult week for our yeshiva family. Tragedy of a young woman passing away. And always when I prepare for the shir, I'm learning through the Maharal on Thursday night. So the themes of the week are usually very strongly in my head. We'll see if we can connect some of what we learned to the events of this past week. The first Maharal that we're going to study has to do with a well-known Rashi right at the beginning of the Parsha. The second Pasuk in the Parsha says, Vayhi Yitzchak ben Arba'im Shana, Yitzchak was 40 years old, V'kachtos Rivka. The Torah describes Rivka as Bas Pesuel Ha'arami, Mipadan Aram, and Achos Lavan Ha'arami. The Torah goes into a lot of very specific detail about Yitzchak's wife. And Rashi picks up on this. Take a look at Rashi, page 68. Bas Besuel Mipadan Aram Achos Lavan Michi Adayin L'Nichlev Shi Bas Besuel Achos Lavan Mipadan Aram. We knew this already. Ela L'Hagid Shvacha. To teach us her praise, Shaisa Bas Rasha, Va'achos Rasha, Umakoma Anche Rasha, V'lo Lamda Mimaseim. So the Maharal just elaborates a little bit on this, and I thought it was very appropriate, a very important topic. V'im Tomar, Achash HaKasiv Omer Shaisa Bas Rasha, Ma'hosip Bezeh Shaisa Achos Rasha, V'chi Yoser Tilmod Min Ha'ach, Mimasha Tilmod Min Ha'av. One would think that one learns from one's parents a lot more than the siblings. So what's added? What's Rashi adding for the siblings? Should have just said she was the daughter of a Rashi. She didn't learn from them. Anyone who gets influenced by bad people or bad place, anyone who gets influenced at all to do bad, al gimel dvar, three ways. Yesh mehem shuos mikach yira. Sometimes a person does bad things because he's scared. He's scared of what people are going to say. He's scared because he wants to fit in. He's scared because of what someone's going to do to him if he doesn't do it. Sometimes we get pressured into doing the wrong things because we're scared of various forces. Shehu yare miploni v'tzarech lasos kemaisav. V'hasheni, the second way that a person sometimes does things, she'osa me'ahavaso mechibaso. Sometimes a person gets influenced to do things because of love. Kamosha Amru, Vinyan Avodazar, Ovid Me'avas Adam or Me'iras Adam. It's machlok is there, Ovid Me'ava. You know, either because you know somebody else is doing it and you love that other person, so you get influenced by people who you love. Somebody, your friend, is doing something, so you want to do it because you love that friend, you want to fit in with that friend. Well, that's maybe more the year, or you do it out of love. V'yesh Me'em She'en Ovid Lo Me'avas Adam Lo Me'iras Adam Ela Machmas Minog Shenagu Kach. And there's a third reason why people do bad things. You just get into that minug, you get into that rote, that's your custom, that's the way your parents did it, that's the way your grandparents did it, that's the way your whole town, that's the way we do things here. We do things wrong. That's our minug. It's our minug. A minug is to do the wrong thing. And sometimes when we live in a community and the community has a minug to do things in the wrong way, so that's the way we end up doing it. Like the Gemara says in Maseches Chulin, Goyim Shebechutz La'aretz Lav Avodei Avodah Zarah, Ela Minug Avaseihem B'Yadeihem. It's not like the Goyim, they want to. Right, that's the minig of chutz laretz. It's minig chutz laretz to do the wrong thing. V'hinei Rivka, mipnei shaviyah haya rasha, haya lalumon mikach, moira shel av. So when it comes to learning from your parents, it's mostly out of fear or awe. It's not out of love. Interesting, you see what the Maharal is going to talk about this in a moment, in the next piece. Very interesting what he says about that. We'll see it in a minute, but kids learn from their parents, generally speaking, out of mora. Vavel became lo lamda, even though she should have learned the evil from her father, but she didn't learn it, even though she had awe for her father, but she didn't learn this, she didn't learn the evil ways. Uvnei shayah achia rasha v'yadua, ki ha'achim oavim zeh zeh v'tachlis. Siblings have a very special love, which the Maharal suggests, the love of siblings is more than the love of a child for a parent. So we'll see that in a minute, why he talks about that. Again, he talks about it a little bit. He talks about it for 30 pages, but I only took a little bit. So he says the parent-to-child relationship is more out of yira, generally speaking. And it's interesting that, you know, the Torah, there is no commandment for a child to love their parents. Right? You have kavod and mora. That's the relationship that the Torah has. So even though she loved her brother, her love stopped at the area where loving was evil, and she didn't learn from that loving relationship. She didn't learn from the fear relationship of her parents, or the awe. She didn't learn from the loving relationship of the brother. Incredible personal fortitude that Rivka had, not to learn from the awe relationship, not to learn from the love relationship, and not to learn from the it's our minag, the rote, the custom relationship. The Torah is just stressing what incredible personal fortitude and strength she had. And just look at the next paragraph for a second. V'rayel ezem in haTorah ki av shetziva Hashem yisparach mora avaim. This is from the Sivos Olam, from a different commentary. It's interesting, the Torah commands you to be in awe of your parents and in awe of your Rebbe. The Torah does not command, the Maharal says, to love your parents. The Torah never commands such a thing. It might be a Poel Yotzei, certainly we believe, you know, certainly it happens very often, but there is no commandment. He says that the parents and the child are not on equal footing. And you can't have real love if you're not on equal footing. Now, it's interesting. He then goes on to describe how could there, yes, be a mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Hello, we're not on equal footing with the Ribbono Shel Olam.
We learn from David, there is no love in the world. We learn from David and Melech, there is no love in the world on father's
birth. Oh, right. So that's true. Dabar Zem Beisha ain't able, or maybe the same logic should apply, but I was thinking about that. But let's see, again, since they're not on equal footing, the child and the parent, lo yipol b'neim ava klal rak yira bilvad. That's pretty strong language. V'im kein yikshalach k'etzel Hashem yisparach tim tashneim ava v'yira v'lama zev eich shayach ava l'Hashem yisparach she'ein b'neim shavim dimyin klal. As he says, for love, there has to be a certain attachment, right? Ahava means a certain chibur, a certain attachment, which you could really only have with people who are on equal footing. So what about the Ribbono Shel Olam? Amnam l'fi shamar na lo yikshik afshu hu yisparach b'shamayim v'ata al aretz v'i efshar lomar b'peh harachok shebein Hashem yisparach hu bein ha'adam avol perish adavar kamo shamar na ki Hashem yisparach hu kiyom ha'adam. Hashem is the reason for man's sustenance v'i efshar zulaso ulufikach shayach ava elav kichol davar hu oev davar asher hu hashlamaso. So he sort of says, again, I don't know how that fits in with his Torah, but he has a different point. That's not the point that I really wanted to focus on so much. But first, in the first part, he talks about the influence that a parent has on a child. So a parent has a huge influence on a child. Huge influence. That's what he said. That's the Mora relationship. It's the Mora relationship. But it's a very, very strong relationship, the parent and the child. And so it's important for us to realize the impact that we have on our children, the continued impact. Especially with the tragedies of this week, one of the things that we're thinking about very strongly is children who no longer have, in one case, in four cases, five cases, children who no longer have a father to be madrich, to give the proper guidance. Again, the Maharal says it's more of a Mora relationship, interestingly. And then the situation of somebody who passed away here. So one of the things that were so incredibly inspiring about the Levaya that in this neighborhood was, so the mother had five children, and each child got up at the Levaya and spoke about that child's own special personal relationship with the parent, and each one was different, each one was unique. But the clearly the influence on the parent, the parent's influence on the child is very profound. And the Torah is stressing how Rivka was able to withstand the negative elements of that relationship, but that's very, very difficult to do. Very difficult. The Mora relationship, the Ava relationship. Again, certainly there are dimensions of the Ava relationship with the parents as well. Certainly there are dimensions of it. Again, he says it very strongly, but you know, we certainly know that there are elements of that as well. But I think we should think this week, as there are families now without parents, we should probably take a few moments to think about our own children, our relationship with our children, how powerful and impactful that relationship is. And I think that's one of the things that the Torah is trying to stress over here. I guess the other thing is that children have to be careful not to pick up the bad habits from their parents. And that's one of the very strong messages of Rivka. And we all have bad habits. And if our children don't pick up our bad habits, we should be happy. We should encourage that, and we should realize that that even our faults play a big role in our children. And we should be sensitive to that as well, because we have a huge obligation. And I tell parents all the time that sometimes if their child, let's say, is not doing well in the Jewish studies, so sometimes if I have the guts, I might tell a parent that the child has to see the father make an effort in the area of Jewish studies in order for the child to go that way, because it's easy for the parent to say, this is important and I want you to take this seriously. But if the child sees the parent not taking it seriously, then the message is very, very much lost on the child in most cases, because that influence is very strong. And it's difficult to be a Rivka, to be able to pick up, only on the good points and not to pick up on the negative points. It's very challenging. So if we want our kids to follow in a certain area, then we have to be role models of the positive, because generally speaking, it's hard to be a Rivka and only pick up on the positive and not the negative. Let's continue. Beautiful, beautiful piece over here where he talks about Yaakov is Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim. So we know Yaakov is called Tam. So Sefer Mishlei, Pasuk says, Ki Yesharim Yishkinu Aretz Utimimim Yivasru Ba Urishayim Me'eretz Yikaresu Ubogdim Yishchum Yimena. Now he goes into a lengthy, I'm going to try to just take off a little piece over here. I want to focus a little bit on his words about Tam. What's the mal of being a Tam? What is a Tam? And what does a Tam get? So he says, Shlomo HaMelech Alav HaShalom Bolivar Malas HaYosher Umalas HaTzmimus. So the Pasuk, in highlighting the good midos, talks about Yesharim and Tmimim. Yesharim Yishkinu Eretz Utmimim Yivasru Ba. And basically he says that the difference between being a Tam and a Yashar, a lot of places, right? It says Tom v'Yashar Yitzruni, by Eov also, right? Tam v'Yashar, Shmar Tam or Eyashar v'Chein Harbe, v'Yakrov Shenikra Yish Tam v'Hainikra Yishurin. Interesting. Yaakov is called Tam and he's also called Yishurin. She'e b'kas b'nei Yishurin. No, that's not Yaakov. There's other places. Ahib Yishurin. There are other places that Yaakov was also called Yishurin. Ushneim heim ne'amarim al asher einam yotzim min aroi. V'hevesh shebedeim ki ha-yashar mitzad sichlo v'chachmaso misbonin la'asas ha-yashar. He says a yashar is someone who thinks about it and has wisdom and decides to go on the straight path. V'hatamim hu sheholech b'derech ha-yashar me'atzmo v'lishum hisbonanus. Rak holech b'daku b'tmimus. He says, Yashar is somebody who thinks and analyzes, that's the right way to go. He thinks the issues through and he comes up, he uses his intellect to figure out how he should be. He says, a tam is someone who's more instinctively and naturally, he has a simple faith. It's a much more simple, natural, simple faith. He's not someone who's a deep thinker. He doesn't have to think deeply about things. He has an instinctive, natural ability to do the right thing. He's simple. It's a good question. It's a good question. Let's read a little bit more. You're asking a good question. I hear your question. It could be, Herbie, that he has trained himself. He has trained himself, you know, to have a natural. He has trained himself that he doesn't have to think. Let's say he sees himself in a chesed situation, or he sees himself. He has trained himself so well, or to go to minyan, it's become. He's trained himself to do the right things that he doesn't have to sit and fight every time. I'm going to go to minyan now. I'm going to go to the shir now. It's become natural. He has a simple, sincere, you know, approach to his Judaism.
So he starts as a yashar through logic and discipline.
Maybe he can get to be tmimus. That's what I would say. Let's see. V'Yaakov hayalo shtei midos. Yaakov had both. Shari nika Yaakov ish tov, v'yinika yishur and gamke. Kidvarm shel atzmo hayanoig b'tmimus. Dainu adavar shehu magia el atzmo. V'dvarm hamagiyim el acherim. Uvazeh enu roi hatmimus. Uvazeh shayach shahayim isponim b'sich lo lasas hayashar. I don't exactly know what that means, so let's read a little bit more. Uvazifri. Kisha'ata tam chelkicha im Hashem Elokecha. Right, there's a pasuk he's going to speak about in a second. Tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha. So he understands that when a person is a tamim, he's very close to Hashem. V'chein David omer v'ani b'tumi tamachta bi v'atatziveni l'fanecha l'olam. And me in my wholeness. I mean, tmimus means it has a dimension of being simple. Not complicated, uncomplicated. Simple, pure, emuna pshuta, a simplistic approach, but I don't mean simplistic in its negative connotation. I mean pure and whole and uncomplicated. I like to use the word uncomplicated. It's pashut. It's simple. It doesn't require a lot of thought, my Yiddishkeit for me. It's obvious. It's natural. Uvisifri. Kishata tam, chelchama shemel kecha. Bechim David omer, vani betumi, when I was a tum, David HaMelech says, when my faith was simple, pure, and pashut, tamachta bi, you pushed me up, you held me up. Batatziveni l'fanecha la'olam. Harei lecha, mi shehu tum, chelko im Hashem yisparach, v'hu nitzav v'kayam. That's the idea that I want to speak. He says, a simple, pure faith lasts. Nitzav v'kayam. V'yira, shalakach, Tav shall tamim tia im Hashem el gedola. In the Torah, in the Sefer Torah, in the pasuk of tamim tia im Hashem el kecha, the tav in the word tamim is big. It's a big tav in the word tamim of tamim tia im Hashem el kecha. The tav is big. Lirmoz al hamadrega haachrona shemagia elav mishehu tamim. That when you're tamim, you're going to last. You're going to get to a big madrega. V'yesh lo akiyam anitzchi. Ve'ein sholten bo misnagdav. U'kamo shama David, va'ani bitumi eilech pideni v'chaneni. David HaMelech says to God, I'm going to walk in front of you with simple faith, redeem me and show me grace. Ratzalom ha'kasher u'holech bitumo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu podo so misonav, asher lo yishletu bo. God will redeem you and save you and help you in every place. V'yoser alzeh ki Hashem yisparach mekayim oso ad shu nitzchi legamrei. You're going, if you're a tum, you're going to be eternal. You're going to last. Listen to this, Herbie, listen. U'kamo shemokhech ha'kosov ha'sheni v'ani b'tumi tamakni b'tzim v'an olam. Harei lecha shnei dvarim shnim tu b'tumim. Ha'echad, two things about a tumim. Number one, Hashem always redeems you for your enemies. V'yesh lo kiyum nitzchi imzeh. And you have an eternal kiyum. V'elu shnei dvarim nirmazim b'loshin zeh. Tamim tia im Hashem elokecha. When you're a tamim, you're always with Hashem. Ki kasherhu im Hashem yotze miyad asher rotzim lishlot bo. You're going to be able to escape the hand that wants to rule over you. Ki kasherhu im Hashem mekabel akim anitzkim in Hashem yisparach. Because it says v'atem advekim Hashem elokechem chayim kol chamiyom. If you're attached to God, you're going to live forever. Hare shadvekus bo yisparach gorm lokim anitzkim. Ah, listen to this. Yaakov had these two things. Listen to this. Ki Yaakov lo meis. We have a tradition in Chazal, Rabbosai. Yaakov avinu lo meis. Now listen to this. the letters of the word, this is with special for those of you who follow me on Twitter. Yaakov in the low mace. Ki Yaakov v'hoya tzirasu chakuku b'kis ha'kavad. V'yotzi mikolam esnagim shlo shoto lo ach ola al kolam agir b'kis ha'kavad. V'fikach ha'yimisabek and ha'malachi. Let's skip that drach hazal. Look at this. V'chol zeh b'shushu hu Yaakov ish tam. V'simil zeh. The letters tam are the opposite of the letters mace. Listen to this brilliance. Ki mi sheyesh bo midas ha'tmimus. Someone, the more uncomplicated you are, the longer you're going to sustain yourself. Ki mi sheyesh bo midas ha'tmimus. It's the opposite. Tam is the opposite of mace. So Yaakov ish tam is Yaakov Avinu lo mace. Wow. That deserved a tweet. Ki mi sheyesh bo midas ha'tmimus. She'enu yotze chutz mitrimuso. Ve'enu mischakim b'tachpula klal. The Maral stresses that sometimes the more uncomplicated and simple your service of Hashem is, the longer it's going to last, right? Like a product that's, if it's simple to make, if it's very simple and plain and easy and strong and basic, it's not too complicated, it's going to last longer. Ve'en mischakim b'tachpula. Ve'en mischakim b'tachpula klau. Ufikach ba'al amida azos, eno sar min Hashem yisbarach. Ki kol mi shemischakim. Someone who tries to analyze and intellectualize and thinks things through too much, removes you from Hashem. What did the snake introduce to Nachash? Trickery. Subtlety. Haya meruchak min Hashem Yisrach. Uva armas hanachash heises gamkin esa adam shnemar. V'nifkechu, what happened? Einei shnechem, their eyes opened up. V'heisam kelukim yodei tovara. All of a sudden they had a little bit too much knowledge, Adam and Chava. V'davar zeh yediyah yaseir chutz me'atzo shel adam. It's not the way man was created naturally. Man was created naturally in Adam Arishon, the way he was created before the sin was created, with a natural inclination and desire to do good. And it took the snake. The snake was the trickster who thought outside of himself. Chutz me'atzo shel adam v'chach mazos heiser es adam and Hashem yisparach. Yediyah tovara hi yediyah yaseir el adam ki yediyah lara ein tzarech el adam. That's what caused death. That's why death happened afterwards. If not for the Nachash, Adam would have lived forever. But now once he introduced the armimus, the trickery, which is too much conniving and thinking things through and seeing things as good and bad, as opposed to as emes and sheker, that causes death. Okay, little hidden. And that's what he says, tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha. If you're tam, you'll be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to say that from the little that I know of the people who were killed in the land of Israel this week, and, you know, as Rabbi Tursky was the one who I knew of the most, although Rabbi Kupensky, his brother, was with me in KBY, but it's so, what I think makes this tragedy so much more shocking is that we had, you talk about tmimus, people who were tamim, who were simple in their avas Hashem, and to be cut down the way they were cut down, it causes more of the sense of wonder, because Chazal say here, the Maharal is stressing here, that somebody who's more betmimus, the more tamim you are, the longer your faith will last, and certainly, and that you'll be somebody who redeems you from all of your enemies. We saw here people who had the tamimus who did not get that, who did not merit that. Somebody sent me from the Lubavitcher Rebbe this week, that after there was a certain terrible terrorist attack, and young children who had plenty of tmimus, who were tamim, who were young, who get cut down. So the Rebbe said, there's no answer, and there's no consolation. Vayidom Aaron, when these things happen, is Vayidom Aaron. We're quiet. You know, there's a medrash that says, Kach olsa v'machshava lefanai. This is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, which we mamish don't understand. We can't understand, but the lesson for us and the tmimus of these people will endure. The tmimus of these people will endure with their children when they remember the sweet, pure, innocent lives. Sweet, pure, innocent lives. Kulam Torah, kulam ahava. Those very, very, very simple, pure, innocent lives. I don't know if you saw that I'm sure you saw, it's all over the internet, that the four widows sent that a message that this Shabbos should be maybe a Shabbos of of pure love of people. There should be no machlokas this Shabbos. People should take upon themselves this Shabbos that they're going to go extra special out of the way. There's going to be no arguments, no. It's very, very fascinating that that's the thing that they took upon themselves, that they said they want all of Klal Yisrael on the merit of the husbands who passed away. That should be a Shabbos with no machlokas and no just avas chinam, just loving everybody for no reason, even the people you don't get along with. Should be a Shabbos of looking to try to create more love in the world. That's what the widows decided. Such a pure, simple families, pure, had emuna pshuta, not complicated. So the Maharal says that, generally speaking, except when you're in a time of a terrible decree that we don't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing what he's doing, but in the normal course of events of the world, so Yaakov Ish Tam is Yaakov Avinu Lo Meis. Tam is the opposite of Meis, that the more uncomplicated and simple and whole and complete and a person's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, generally speaking, that allows him, that lasts. That type of faith is a faith that lasts. It's a faith that grows. It's a faith that has kiyum. Tom and Tia has a big tough to say that the Tmimus is going to last for a long time. Ah. And the next piece of the Maharal, going back to what we began to talk about, he talks about Kibud Av V'Eh, and I'm just going to try to summarize for you outside because it's a very long piece. Well, we can read a little bit of it inside. We have some time. He talks about Kibud Av V'Eh. And again, I'd like to hear from you what you think the lesson of this is, but there's a very fascinating Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin. Basically, the Gemara in Kiddushin wants to know, how much does a person have to honor his parents? How much? And the Gemara quotes three stories, all of them that had to do with a famous non-Jew. The Gemara brings a raya to how much you have to go for Kibud Av V'Eh. The Gemara Kiddushin from a non-Jew's name was Dama ben Nesina. Now, you may remember some of these stories. I actually only quote two out of the three, but the third one is pretty simple. Just take a look at these stories. The Kiddushin Shambai, Ad Heichan Kibud Av V'Eh. How far do you have to go for Kibud Av V'Eh? How far do you have to go? Now, why is this in the Parsha? This is in the Parsha because Esav, according to Chazal, was known for his tremendous Kibud Av V'Eh. So there again you see that Esav, quote-unquote, a non-Jew, meaning not from the Jewish tradition, but Chazal say that Esav performed the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Eh much more than Yaakov did. Esav did much more. Take a look at the Pasuk, right? Vayhi Esav ish yodeat tzayid ish sadeh, v'Yaakov ish tam yosheva olam. That's the Pasuk, Perichavah, Pasuk of Zion, page 69. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, Yodeat tzayid. Rashi says, Latsud uleramos esav b'fiv, v'sholo abba hech masin esamelech v'satevin, kasavar aviv shumidaktik v'mitzvos. So we know that Yitzchak seemed to have a preference for Esav, right? That's what the Torah says. The Torah says that Yitzchak had a right. Next pasuk, Chavches. Vayehav Yitzchak is Esav, kitzayid b'fiv, rifko havas is Yaakov. It sounded like Yitzchak had a preference for Esav, and Chazal elsewhere, I don't think it's in Rashi anywhere, but Chazal elsewhere say that the reason why he loved him was because he was tremendous at the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Eh. He was tremendous at the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Eh. Rashi gives him a bad rap, but elsewhere Chazal say that that was real, that Esav, let's see what the Maharal quotes here. How far does Kibud Av V'Eh go? Now, the Sefer Teferis Yisrael of the Maharal is all about Kabbalah Satorah. So, in the Sefer Teferis Yisrael, he goes through the Aseret HaDibros and explains each one of them. So, in Perek Mem Aleph, that's what we're reading from over here. The Maharal is Teferis Yisrael, Perek Mem Aleph. So, that's about Kabbalah Satorah. So, he wants to know, how far do you have to go in Kibud Av V'Eh? So, the Gemara tells three stories, all of them about the same guy. You want to know? So the Gemara asked, they asked Rav Ula, how far do you have to go for Kibud Av V'Eh? So he said, this is how you go look and see what this non-Jew, this Arami Echad La'aviv Ba'ashkelon, the Dama Ben Nesina Shmo, Pamachas Bikshu Chacham Prachmati B'Shishim Ribo. So the rabbis wanted to make a $600,000 business deal with Dama Ben Nesina. He stood to profit $600,000 because the rabbis wanted to buy a certain, you know, piece of jewelry from him, whatever, or gold and silver, whatever it was, and it was stored away in the storehouse, and the key to the storehouse was under the bed of his sleeping father. Under his head. Velot Ciaro. And he didn't wake up his father. Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, that's story number one. Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, Shalos Rav Elazar, Adhechen Gimelavim, Amar Lam Tzurim Asa Goyachad Ba'ashkel Medam Ben Asin Shmuel, Pamachas Pikshachah Ma'avanim La'ifod. The rabbis, he had the keys, the stones to buy for the ephod, for the Kohen Gadol's breastplate. He had it. B'shishim Rivo, they wanted to pay $600,000. Rav Kahana Masti B'shmonim Rivo, Schar, V'amavtech Munach Tachas, the key to the stones was under his father's head, and he was sleeping. The next year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a reward, this Dama ben Asina. He gave his flock gave birth to a para aduma. So he told the rabbis, listen, I know I have you over a barrel. If I would ask you for all the money in the world, you'd give it to me. But I'm only going to ask you for that money that I could have benefited from that business deal that I didn't wake my father up. A guy who's not even mitzuvah in kibud av v'aim, he has this level of kibud av for his parents. How much more so we who are commanded? Now the three dots there means, and the third story is that David ben Asin, one time his mother spit at him and ripped his and embarrassed him, and he wasn't moved by the fact that his parents totally embarrassed him in public and spit on him and defamed him and publicly ridiculed him, and he still was mechabed his parents.
So, if I wouldn't wake my father and lose $600,000, my father would be very upset.
I guess times have changed. I'm with you, Herbie. I'm with you. Beer Indian Zet, Hachachamu Ha'elu Bolivar, Ad Kama Hasechel Machayev Mitzvazos. So the Maharal says, what's the lesson over here from the fact that Esav had more Kibud Av'eim than Yaakov? He says that Kibud Av'eim is a mitzvah that is the ultimate mitzvah that Seichel tells you. You don't need the Torah for Kibud Av'eim. You don't need to be Jewish for Kibud Av'eim. Kibud Av'eim is so fundamental and so foundational, and so obvious, and so logical, that even a non-Jew who doesn't have Torah, he appreciates the godless of Kibud Av V'Eim. Ki mitzvah zos, befrat machai osa adas v'asechel, sheichabit ha'adam horov, sheheviu osa lo'olam. Your parents gave you your life, your parents raised you when you were small, your parents, it's obvious, Kibud Av V'Eim is so obvious, even a non-Jew has a netiyah towards this mitzvah without being commanded. That's what you learn from the fact that the Gemara, when it wants to learn about Kibud Av V'Eim, learns some stories from non-Jews, because to show you how basic and how obvious and how logical and how fundamental is that even without the Torah, the non-Jews came to this. And that's why he says the non-Jews do it better than us. The non-Jews do it better than us because Gadol HaMitzvah V'Osa Mishenu Mitzvah V'Osa means that since we have a commandment to do it, so it makes it harder. The fact that we have the commandment, for us it makes it harder. But for the non-Jews who don't have the commandment, it's just logic, so it's obvious to them to do it. Look what he says. L'fikach ba l'lamid inya mitzvah zos min akum. She'ein akum makayim ha-mitzvah b'shvil shenetzdav e'olah. The non-Jew is not commanded. Since the non-Jew is not commanded, he has an easier time of it. Right? Because we have a rule that anything that you have to do, by definition, you don't want to do. Since you have to do it. So that's why the non-Jews are even stronger. That's why Esav was better at Kibud Av V'Eim than Yaakov, because he didn't have to do it. Yaakov had the chiyuv to have to do it. And I always add in, I know I've said this in this year before, but Rav Avram Shor, big Talmud Chacham in Brooklyn, once said as follows, and I've said this in this year many times, actually a couple of times, that the reason why in our generation particularly, Kibud Av V'Eim is one of the hardest mitzvot for kids growing up to perform nowadays. Nowadays, again, some of it might have to do with the stuff that we spoke about at the beginning of this year, about how kids sometimes learn from the not such good midos of the parents, or maybe the parents are sometimes too tough. There's too much myra, too much yira, and the kid becomes tough like the parents tough. That's what sometimes happens. that the parent's very tough, so the kid becomes tough, just not exactly for the same things that the parent wants it to be. The parent is tough, but he's tough in one way, and the kid's tough in the other way. That's usually what happens, right? Last night was Israel night, so the parents are coming over to me and say, oh, which yeshiva my kid go? I said, listen to this. Whichever yeshiva you tell your kid to go to, he's going to go to the other one. So that's just the way it is. So if you want your kid to go to a certain yeshiva, just tell him to go to the other one, and he'll end up going to that one. So Rav Avraham Shor says that the reason why, specifically in the last generations before Mashiach, we feel like the world is moving towards the ikfas of the Mashiach, establishing the state of Israel, we hope is Reishis Smichas Gilo, saying that it's the beginning. We feel that we're getting closer and closer. The Golos is slowly ending, slowly, slowly, slowly. We're getting to the end of Golos, hopefully. So Rav Avraham Shor said, at a time when Rabbi Weberman took his students to visit, I have a CD that he gave me from his, I never forgot this piece. He says that specifically because in the time before Mashiach, the Yetzer Hara knows that the whole Mesorah is transmitted from parents to children. So the Satan sees that the end is coming, so the mitzvah that the Satan works harder at, that we should have trouble with more than anything else, is Kibud Av Aim, because the Satan knows that if the Satan can succeed in convincing all the kids to not have respect for their parents, Mashiach won't come, because the whole way we get the tradition, the whole way we get all of our traditions, the main way that we get the traditions passed down to us is from our parents. So that's again another reason why Kibud Av Aim is such a struggle. So the Maharal says, why did Yaakov have a harder time with Kibud Av Aim than Esav? Esav, because Esav didn't have the chiyuv, he didn't have the commandment. He wasn't the Torah Dikki Yid, he didn't have, and Kibud Av Aim for somebody, it's obvious to be Mekai and Kibud Av Aim. Kibud Av Aim is obvious, you don't need the Torah for it, it's Seichel. Just to skip to the end, because I'm coming to the end already, he says a lot more. You're going to have to do the middle part. You're going to have to read on your own. He says, you know, the pasuk says, ki sham in Mara, sham sam lo chok u'mishpat v'sham niso. So what does Rashi say? Chok, I think, is para aduma, and mishpat is kibud av aim. Mishpat is kibud av aim, because kibud av aim is the ultimate mitzvah that makes sense to us. Your parents did so much for you. Your parents, when the time you were a baby, they nursed you, they helped you, they drove you, they sustained you. Without your parents, How are you gonna survive what they did for you to bring you up, your parents to do everything for you to bring you up? So it's so obvious. It's mishpat. It's the ultimate. If Para Aduma is the ultimate mitzvah that we don't understand, Kibud Av Aim is the ultimate example of the mitzvah that we do understand. And it goes through those stories, and he says each story tells you a different aspect, this different aspect of Kibud Av Aim. So he says, look at the last page, Lefikach. Ha'akum asher ein lahem Torah rak ma she'aseichem l'chayim nimshachem achar mitzvah zos. Top line, fourth page. B'yosim in Yisrael. Amnam yesh l'das od ki ha'umos shem nisharim yosim b'mitzvah zos ma she'Yisrael z'rizim b'mitzvah zos. Hu davar amok. The Maharal says the fact that the nations of the world are better at Kibud Av Aim than the Jews. I know there's a famous Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky story on the airplane that contradicts this, but whatever. This is very deep. Esav was better at the mitzvah of Kibud Av Aim than any person who ever lived, says the Maharal. So say Chazal. And that's why Yitzchak loved him. Again, Pashup Shat, right? Rashi goes to the Drash. But Pashup Shat is, he loved him because he mamish served him hand and foot, and every night served him a deluxe steak. He gave him the best steak every night. Kitzai, that's the Pashup Shat. Kitzai, Shay Mechabin, it's a Betsaydu. Of a Midrash, Amishim Galil, Kol Yom Ayisi, Mishamish is Avi, Velo Shimashti. Listen to this Medrash. Amishim Galil, Kol Yom Ayisi, Mishamish is Avi. He says that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, all my days I served my father hand and foot, and I didn't do one one hundredth of what Esav did to his father. When I was cooking in the kitchen for my father, so I wore my apron, my dirty clothing. When I went out to the market, so then I put on my suit. Esav, kishayim mishamish his aviv. When Esav was preparing the food for his father, says the Medrash, he used to wear mamish king's clothing. So what's the lesson for us out of this? What's the lesson for us out of this? Could be a bunch of lessons, but certainly a mitzvah that has so much seichel, you know, the Yetzer Hara gets involved in this mitzvah so much, we should realize what kind of a tremendous chiyuv we have to our parents. And I again go back to what happened this week, the fact that there's so many children this week that have no parents. Children that don't have the parents to provide for them, that don't have that parent sustenance. We have to daven for those children. We have to daven for the children in Eretz Yisrael. We have to daven for the children in Woodmere that no longer have their parent to help guide them. This is such a basic chiyuv that even the Goyim know, and the Goyim, according to the Maral, the Goyim do it better than us. This is supposed to teach us, the lesson for us is how simple and how push and how obvious it is. But sometimes the things that are so obvious, since it's a chiyuv for us, it's so hard to do. Or like Rav Avram Shor said, because the Yetzer Hara knows that that's the way we get the Mesorah, so the Yetzer Hara sometimes makes it so difficult for us. We make excuses, we don't call our parents, we don't do for our parents what we need to do for them. We make all kinds of excuses. But this is such an important link in the Mesorah. And I apologize, just 30 seconds more, just the last piece. Yitzchak is the one who is Mechadesh Yisurin. Yitzchak is the one who is Mechadesh Yisurin. That's why it says, Vatehi ki zaken Yitzchak, Vatechena inov meiraos, that his eyes, he became blind. So the Medrash says that Yitzchak davened to Hashem, please give us Yisurin. Please give us Yisurin. Please give us afflictions. Because otherwise, how is a person ever going to get kapara from his averus? So Yitzchak davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have Yisurin. Unbelievable. We see people this year who have, who this week, we see people going through a lot of Yisurim, and we don't daven, we don't ask for any kind of Yisurim, we don't ask for tribulations, but we hope that when Hashem gives us Yisurim, it should be a kapara, it should be a total, it should wipe away everything. This comes from Yitzchak Avinu, that's what Chazal say. Yitzchak davened that a person who has Yisurim afflictions, that it shouldn't be we should have to die to atone for our sins, that it should be enough that we should have difficulties in life, and those difficulties should atone. So we davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that those who went through Yisurim, they should have a total kapara. They should have a lifetime from now on free with worry, free of tsar, free of pain. Should only be lifetimes filled with simcha, filled with bracha, filled with nachas. All of Klal Yisrael that have been going through a month of Yisurim, such Yisurim, all of Klal Yisrael have been going through it should be Kates v'sof l'tzaroseinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they die l'tzaroseinu, die l'galu yoseinu. We should merit very, very soon to see only Yeshuos, only in positive things, only gulos, like Yaakov was Ishtam, was Zeichet to Geula. Hopefully that day should come. We should all see the Geula Hashlema. May it come here, v'yameinu, amen. Avichanan v'kashim v'yotzer v'kashim v'yotzer 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 v'yotzer